Changing our mindset changes our reality, because our reality is created by our perception. The way we see the world, the way we see our life unfolding, determines how we feel about our lives and determines how we feel and think about the situations that are happening around us, that we call happening to me. If we are peaceful, life appears peaceful to us because we stay at peace in our mind and we don't let anything disturb that peace. We don't let conflict with reality arise within us, which is one of those root causes of negative experiences. Welcome to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. I'm your host, Todd Perlmutter. Our world is a projection of our collective consciousness. The more peace we bring into our lives, the more peace we bring into this world. So let the transformation begin. Truly, negative experiences come from a negative outlook. And sometimes what can happen in our lives is very horrible, undeniably tragic. And we will naturally feel broken. But where we do have this one bit of control, this ability that humans still have in their darkest times, which is the ability to always accept and make peace with reality, to stop creating a resistance and an inner conflict with reality, which is really what all stress is. It's that tension in our body that we create. It always comes because this inner battle, it is essentially that fight or flight mode gets activated, that stress response, and all of our muscles tense up, and we get very focused on this danger, this threat. But this choice of the quality of our presence, the direction of our focus, is always with us, and we can make peace with everything that is most unbearable, unthinkable, and tragic. I don't mean that we jump for joy and look like a fool at a funeral or, you know, anything like this, but, and it won't feel like that. It'll be feeling terrible emotions with courage, with confidence, with peacefulness, because that is the choice we made, to face this pain and not to resist it. And we don't have to create that stress and tension in our body. And as hard as it seems sometimes, our outlook truly does create our reality. When we are truly happy, we don't even care if someone was rude to us on the street. We just feel sympathy and compassion. We can just be walking down the sidewalk, smiling and waving to everyone, not caring that one out of 10 people even look you in the eye. True happiness comes with zero craving or expectations. As soon as there is craving for someone to smile or wave back, to say hello back, then we are subjecting ourselves to inevitable and future unhappiness. When we don't get that, when we long for it, and when we even cling on for far too long to the one that did say hello back, because now we're missing all the more people to share our love with a smile and a hello and a wave. When we are truly happy, we don't get angry or jealous or bitter. We don't blame or self-blame because immediately then we're not happy the moment we let those feelings in. And even when negative experiences happen, we take it on with a smile. We don't have to worry about if we'll have confidence or courage to take on this moment and know that it'll all work out. We just know that we can take on this moment, this step, just like we always do, because we've made a practice of accepting each moment as it comes, without resisting any of it, without letting any of it put that toxin of stress into our body unless we really need to fight or run away from something. And we will be so much happier when we can give up on these cravings and expectations and just let them go. They will bring nothing but misery. We will still, in present moments, sense what is right for us. Sometimes it's pampering ourselves. Sometimes it's challenging ourselves. Not craving and not expecting things out of life doesn't mean we become hermits or go live in a cave or give up on anything that we have known to be the closest to the life we know we should be living. Giving up on craving outcomes and having expectations simply means we stop resisting when things change, when good things end, or when bad things begin. And that inner peace, that practice of constant acceptance of what is in the moment, restores our energy, preserves it instead of wasting it on needless worry and tension in the body that makes us clouded with judgment. And with this energy, with this peace that comes from presence, we can tackle any challenge. We can overcome any obstacle because there is no longer such a thing as hard work or struggle or bad fortune. There is just stuff happening in the present moment that we will deal with as it comes. Not longer, not before in anticipation, not afterwards for years and decades. And we will realize that we don't accumulate time. We don't accumulate moments. And when we let go of the burden of the past and the future, and we just look at this moment honestly, deeply, and respond to it with what needs to be done, life becomes so much lighter when we stop collecting moments. And we don't have to fear negative experiences because we know we're not going to keep it with us. We're just going to let it go when it's over. And this becomes easy when we embrace hard work. Because if we don't embrace the hard work that is a true fact of every single person's life, then life will be hard. But when we embrace the work, when we don't mind the unexpected time sucks, those wasted hours that we did not anticipate to fix a problem, crisis, emergency, then we can actually handle any crisis and emergency. No matter what kind of life we have, it is guaranteed to have hard work. And the reason I know this is because even if you are very rich, you're so rich and you have no responsibilities, no work, nothing to do that is challenging in any way, often go through immense depression and feeling like they have no purpose, no direction, and that life is meaningless. I've seen the bodies waste away, the minds become bitter and angry, and their life is truly hard. And then someone else in the exact same position opens charities and tries to figure out how to help people, make sure that they do that really hard task of staying physically fit and active, which is especially difficult in this society that is designed for us to have a sedentary lifestyle, and we have to make a conscious effort to get in enough physical activity and fresh fruits and vegetables. And so these people, they put in the hard work, they put in the spiritual work, they put in that most selfless service of giving their blessings to others. And they thrive. And the only difference was that they embraced that hard work, that idea of growth and expansion. Embracing the work, and not just at our day job, but at home with our families, with our relationships, immensely improves every aspect of our lives. We lose the stress that is worried about an outcome, afraid of failing, and we simply love and live in this moment for itself, to just give it the sacred attention it deserves, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how quick our mind jumps to a negative conclusion, no matter how much we want to escape it, we go deeper until we see it past that story, past that cloudy lens of our perception that colors a situation as good or negative, and we wash those glasses by simply accepting what is happening and just stop fighting it. This doesn't mean we don't act. We still lift a car off of our child if that is the emergency. There is no stopping this gut response, this instinct, this higher intelligence that we feel we need to constantly worry and think about, even though it's there for us without thinking. That mother lifts the car off the child. It's pre-thought. The thought is secondary. The thought is simply the mental story we tell about a situation to determine how we feel in hopes that it protects us from danger in the future. And so we may learn from that thinking and analyzing about that situation I just shared. And we will realize that the mother will also keep a much closer eye on her child anywhere near cars. But there doesn't need to become a neurotic, constant state of fear. Because these bodies and the wisdom it contains is so much greater than what our minds can even conceive. We do not understand our own bodies. We don't understand how they work, can't build another one. And yet, the intelligence of every single cell in our body to communicate with every other cell and to work together to keep us alive is always within us. We just need to get the mind out of the way because it really clouds our vision, our judgment, our understanding, and our wisdom. Thoughts try to take infinitely vast and complex experiences and interpret it into a sentence or two. This is great for when we are consciously trying to solve a problem and we need our intellect. It is very convenient when we are trying to make future plans because we take all of our experience and we come down to a single decision. But beyond the conscious use of our mind for intellectual analysis, what we are doing is always taking an experience of infinite complexity based on infinite factors that came before it and will come after it. And we are putting it into symbols and sounds that make up words and sentences. We are taking 5 pieces of data and tossing out a trillion. And it colors and shapes how we see the world. And it limits our understanding, our connections and relationships, and that sense of oneness. It is just that survival instinct from when we were cavemen, designed to tell us fearful thoughts so that we would stay away from tigers and cliff sides, and so we would survive. But it is not reality, not in our modern world. It wants to possess positive, safe things that it experiences forever. And when it's not happening, when we're not in that great, safe, positive experience, we long for it, we crave it, and the mind creates suffering. When undesirable things happen, it resists, becomes angry and agitated, and we let it color our thinking and our mood for days or months or years. And if these negative experiences keep accumulating, that mind, that thought stream just becomes darker and darker and darker because we are accumulating our time. But the moment our thinking becomes brighter is the moment the sun starts to appear. Good things happening will not make us happier. Becoming happy will make good things happen. When a barista at a coffee shop makes someone's order wrong who is a very happy person, they do not care. They do not yell at the barista. They do not get angry or stressed or lose their temper in any way. But someone who is already angry, who already almost got into a fight in a road rage incident, that person could lose it on the barista. And even that person who we would say had a great life, who had everything, was wealthy, had a family, that person might also totally lose it when a barista gets their order wrong. Often it is when we are so accustomed to great things happening, we begin to become so demanding and critical and impatient. During my 9-year spiritual journey, I met so many monks who surprisingly had the worst lives imaginable. They lost so much. They may be diagnosed with something terminal themselves, and they chose to live a monastic life. They changed their perspective, and their life changed. And these were some of the happiest people and most generous, most gracious, grateful, and kind I'd ever met. Now, we don't have to go live in a monastery if something bad happens in our life. But we can learn the lesson from them, which is that our perception is everything. The way we see the world is the way the world is to us. We have to realize that incredible power we all have within us, which is to become present and to direct our focus and awareness. And we can always look at the bright side of the dark side. That is the yin-yang symbol, with the black side having a tiny dot of white in it, and the white side having a tiny black dot within it. Where we put our focus is always up to us. There is always light in the darkness. There is always the sky beyond the clouds. We just have to clean those foggy glasses, clouded with craving, expectations, fear, and resistance to what is. When we do that, and we embrace the hard work of life, we can deal with any negative experience we face. We can do it with standing tall, because we are not carrying the weight of eternity on our shoulders. We can do it with peace, presence, and intention, with more energy, with more wisdom, to succeed and overcome. Much love. Thank you so much for your supporting this podcast. All donations made at eastwesticism.org. That's eastwesticism.org. Keep this show on the air. And everyone that this podcast is helping is all thanks to you. And I am eternally grateful. You have been listening to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. Being here and putting in this important and noble work is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself and others. If you found this podcast even a little helpful, please make sure to leave a review so it can reach others who may be in need. And remember, the path to peace starts with a single step.